Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, herself, Miss On Fire to Inspire, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. I tell you, I have a great, great show in store for you. And the topic tonight is Built to Last. But I want to thank all of our sponsors tonight, Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, who's the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm, Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound, KJ Handyman, specializing in sheetrock, painting, flooring, guttering, anything that needs to be done. He said he'd give us a call, we repair it all. For KJ Handyman, also Unique Expression by Design, and Roz Hair and Beauty Bar. We'll talk more about our sponsors later on in the show, but thank you so much to all of our sponsors. Well, we are back with this phenomenal show. I am so excited to introduce to you our guest tonight, the one and only Mr. Darren, Francis. He is coming from Bronx, New York, to share with us on the topic that's near and dear to his heart, Built to Last. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I truly appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your program. Thank you so much.
Oh, it is an honor to have you. I tell you, it is just refreshing to speak to other kingdom people that's on a path to help others live out the best life ever, and it be so evident in your walk, your talk, and just seeing you. You know, when I saw you all on Periscope the other night, your wife and you, I was like, man, that's a power couple there. So
thank you so much.
You are so welcome. So welcome. So tell us, who is Mr. Darren Francis?
Oh, well, just to give you guys a quick overview or bio about my bio, my name is Darren Francis. I am, as you know, I am the author of Built to Last, A Successful Marriage and Relationship. But before I talk about the book, I am the only son for my mother. My mother has six children, five girls, and I'm the only boy. And so I'm a part of a big family, and being around females pretty much all my life have given me a wealth of information about relationship. I am married to my awesome and fantastic wife for 22 years, Joan Francis. We live here in New York City. We have two boys. Darnell is our oldest son. He's 19 years old, and Jaden is 13 years old. And we also started the marriage ministry in our local church about like eight years ago. We saw the need to start a marriage ministry because we saw that the growth of the married couple in the church was growing, and we saw the need to actually start a ministry that will help to empower couple, and not just for couples also, but for also singles that desire to be married and wanted to know what are some of the things that they need to look forward to, or what are some of the pitfalls that they can avoid in the matrimonial arena. And so and through that, you know, I was led by the Holy Spirit to actually write this book. As a matter of fact, I am so excited about the opportunity to even talk about it tonight, because through this book it has opened up many doors for me to do a lot of different lectures and counseling and also mentorship, and also even being on your program is through this writing. And so I'm grateful to God about it. I believe that marriage do work when you work hard at it. And so I am now, my wife and I, we're in the process of becoming certified counselor, you know, and we're excited about what God is doing right now.
Amen, amen. I love it. You know, it's very encouraging to hear someone fighting for it, because you hear people giving up all the time. So I'm so happy to hear someone that's fighting for marriages and, you know, saying, hey, we're going to help you. So tell me, you said that you all wrote the book, put upon your heart to write this book because you all were doing the marriage counseling in the ministry?
Well, actually, you know, just seeing a lot of stuff that's been going on, you know, God has really given me the passion and the desire to really empower couples. And, you know, and I've been talking about writing a book about relationship for quite a while, to be honest with you. As a matter of fact, it is something that I talk to my wife about all the time. And I remember about like over a year ago, I mentioned it to her and was like, babe, you know, I really want to write this book about relationship. And she said to me, and these were a very exact word, that if you talk about this book one more time, I am going to scream. And I said, well, I read, and I look at the expression on her face when she said that, because it's something that I've been talking about for so long, but I've never really sat down and started to put pen to paper. And at that particular time, I literally grabbed my laptop. I went downstairs in our lower level in our house, and I put out my chair and I put down my laptop on the table, and I started writing. And 9 months after I started the first, you know, the first chapter of the book, I gave birth to Built to Last. Yeah, that's how it was birthed. Yeah.
Hey, man, 9 months later, it was a birth.
It was, indeed.
Man, amen. I tell people that all the time. My first book was like a birth. My first book was a children's book, teaching in English and Spanish. And I'm like, this is my second child, my second birth. And they laugh at me. But it was like a birth, so I can definitely relate to that. Now, what are some of the important things that are necessary to build a successful marriage? What do you feel is are some necessary components to build a successful marriage?
Absolutely. Well, in anything in life that is of great value, I believe that anything in life that is of great value, it takes commitment, it takes sacrifice, it also takes, you know, hard work in order to make anything work. And I believe that when we talk about marriage, it's no different at all. We have to work hard. We have to consistently keep doing what is required in order to make our marriage work. But I want to take it just a little bit further, and I want to say that that marriage is not man's idea. God instituted marriage. And the Bible tells us that wherefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, the two becoming one. The challenge that most people face in marriage right now is the fact that they don't understand, and they have not really allowed themselves to be acclimated or fused together in the union called marriage. And so I believe that if God did the joining, that he is qualified to do the keeping. And so what we also must understand is that because marriage is one of the most sacred union, as a matter of fact, marriage was instituted before the church. And so with that said, we see that God wanted the world, and he wanted his people to understand the unity and the bond that marriage creates. And so anything that is of great value or anything that is sacred, the enemy always wants to destroy it. And so we see that's why God said, who God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And there's a vertical alignment that we must also consistently keep establishing in relationship or in marriage, is that God is first, then the husband, then the wife, then the children, and then everything has come after. When we try to kind of play around with those vertical alignments, we can see an environment where it can create chaos if the man is not in his rightful position as the head of the home, not somebody that's going to beat down and put down and rule with an iron fist. That's not what being the head really means, as the secular world wants to believe. But when you look at it from the perspective of the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, when the Bible tells the man to love his wife Christ loved the church. As a matter of fact, God did not even tell the wife to love the husband, because loving someone for the wife is automatic. It's natural. It's a part of their DNA. It's a part of you guys' instinct. It's a part of your makeup. You know, loving someone, women have a tendency to love genuinely. It's easy to love. But for a man, he must have a reason to love. And so God said to the man, listen, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, you know. And so those are some of the important things that I believe that is necessary in order to build a successful marriage: trust, faith, you know, having a relationship with each other where you guys communicate consistently, work out your differences, having dialogue and having discussion and not argument. And, you know, these are some of the components that is needed in order to establish that fusing process. And during that time, it can be very difficult. You know, I believe it's John Gray wrote a book, Man is from Mars and Woman is from Venus. And when you look at it, it's actually two different worlds coming together as one. And so instead of it being a smooth merger, we see a lot of times it becomes a collision course where two people are butting head instead of trying to merge as one. And the merging takes time. And a lot of times that's where the difficulty comes in, and people kind of walk away as opposed to wait on God to allow the fusion to take place.
Amen. Very well put. Now, I've heard a lot of women say, there are no good single quality men out here anymore. What would you say to the female listener who has that mindset, but she desired to be married? What would you say to her?
Yeah. Wow, boy, I'm telling you, I've gotten this over and over again. And a matter of fact, I want to just say to all the single ladies out there that is saying that you know, we live in a society that it is said that there are more men than women. And but I'm also a big believer in faith and a big believer in hope. You know, and believe that if God has marriage in your future, then it's going to happen. It's a known fact, yes, that you know, especially in the church, that there seems to be a lack of a lot of men in the church. And I when I talk about it, when I do counseling, or when I do lecture or marriage ministry, one of the things that I always impress upon the single ladies: stop talking about the problem. You already know what the problem is. You already know that there's not a lot of men in the church or qualified men, but, you know, let's talk about some of the solution that we can have to those problems. One of the things that I also realized is that from the beginning of time, the enemy wanted men out of his rightful position. And because of that, we see that, you know, there's a lack in terms of the quality single men out there. Are they there? I still believe that there is. If that wasn't the case, most people wouldn't be getting invitation to weddings, and most people would not be becoming bridesmaid or the maid of honor in a wedding. But instead of being a maid of honor or being a bridesmaid, you know, they also want to be the bride. And there is nothing wrong with that. And so I would say to the single ladies, the first thing that you want to do and constantly keep doing, and I preach upon this, I talk about it, and I also impress upon people all the time, that in everything that you do, you want to put God first. Sometimes we chase after the creation and not the creator. We seek in his hand and not seeking his face. And if we believe in the scripture, when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and all things shall be added unto us, then there is a protocol. There's an alignment that needs to be followed. The other thing that I also impress upon single ladies also is that sometimes single ladies are a little bit, picky in terms of their choices. They, of course, you want to have a mindset in your mind as to the type of men, a type of man that you want to marry. You want to know what he looks like. You want to visualize. You want to have a vague picture or a vision as to what he's supposed to be. But at the end of the day, I believe that there are still some good men that doesn't necessarily going to dress up in a white collar suit. You know, they're probably a blue-collar worker. They wear Timberlands, boot, and, you know, their hands are a little bit hard, but, you know, with some, you know, manicure and stuff like that, you know, those are the areas can be polished out. And sometimes they're kind of rough around the edges, but they just needed somebody to treat them like a king. And also they need to learn how to treat a woman like a queen. I think one of the biggest epidemic we have in our society right now is the fact that there are so many men that were not taught how to be men. They were not taught how to be men, and because they were not taught by a man how to be a man, how to love their wives, by seeing the father taking care of the wife, by seeing the father being the king in the home and being the caregiver, being the provider, being the protector, you know, being the covering. And so they grew up with their mom. And I salute all single mothers that are doing a phenomenal job raising their kids. No problem with that. I love it. It's great. You guys are go-getter. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. But there are certain things that a man need to see in order for him to see the image of what a good family structure look like. And because there's been a lack of that in our society, we have young men that are now growing up very emotional, does not to be hardcore, doesn't know exactly how to differentiate and separate emotion from reality. And so when a woman that is very successful, they look at them and they're intimidated. You know, they have corporate jobs, they're now the CEO of the corporation, they're owning their own enterprise. And so sometimes that can be very intimidating for a man. And so is there a shortage of men out there? Probably there is, but I believe that what God has for you, it is for you. And in due season, if we hold on to the belief and the faith in God, that that God will provide that individual. And the Bible said that he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing. And so all the woman have to do is to constantly keep loving herself, putting herself on display. When I say display, you know, go out, love being you, dress up nicely and carry yourself, you know, appropriately so that you can attract what you're really admiring or what you're looking for. You know, I hope I'm doing a good job in answering that question. I get that a lot, woman of God. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I'm asked that question.
Well, I have a question that just came in. Sometimes you see on the event I create, so sometimes I'll get questions in on the event. I'll get questions on chat and things of that nature. So here's a question from a listener. What would you say to someone married but facing a situation where the load is on one person and the other is not employed? It is a covenant marriage, Christian marriage, but is that God's will to be in this predicament?
Well, it's a very tough situation, and it's a question that I've gotten before. You know, it takes two in order to make a marriage work. Is it the Lord's will? Well, the question is, a lot of times we must understand that we are free will creature, and God will not choose a mate for us. He will give us discernment that this is the right person, but at the end of the day, we have to do the picking. I always maintain and impress upon a lot of my fans and people that I talk to on a regular basis that if God did not force salvation on us, then he's not going to just literally say this person is the right person or they're going to pick, he's going to literally pick. You know, I've been preaching and teaching this because I realize that a lot of people sometimes refuse to date or reject somebody that could be a great mate to them because they didn't feel like that person fit their profile. And then somebody else see this individual and they get married. And I'm talking from reality, from experience that I've seen it happen. And they become a great husband to somebody else. Now, would this relationship at work? It probably is. It probably would. The other aspect of it also is this, is that, you know, when we talk about, is this the will of God for this marriage? If one person is in a relationship, in the marriage, and this is a union, and they're not pulling the weight, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, I would resort to counseling first. I would resort to that. I believe that Once you exhaust all the options that you have with counseling and finding out what are the what the problem is, are they looking for a job? If the person is looking for a job and can't find a job, then that's different. You know, if he's a go-getter and he's going out there every day trying to see what's available, trying to see what he can do in order to make ends meet, as we would say. Because a quality man, a man that loves his family, will not sit down and allow the burden of the weight financially to be on the wife's shoulder. I don't care if I had to pick up cans and sell it, I would do whatever I have to do to make ends meet for my family. That's what a real man would do. I would have to swallow my pride and do what is necessary. As long as it's a honest living, I'm not robbing anybody. And that's the mentality that a man should have. Now, the wife also must be in supportive of that man, you know. And if it's a situation where he feels like he's been suppressed, or he's been talked down to, or he's not feeling like he's the head of the home, it can also create a monster. And so my recommendation in a situation like that is to go to counseling, talk to somebody, and find out what's the problem is. What is the issue? Is he looking for a job? I don't know. Maybe that person probably can also type in that that answer to that question. You know, is he constantly going out? Is he speaking to his wife, talking to her, and telling her, "Babe, listen, I'm trying. I'm working on this. I'm doing the best that I can." But if he's just sitting home watching television and not doing anything, and the wife is taking the responsibility as the head, then that is a problem. So before anyone resort to divorce, I always recommend that exhaust all options that you have through counseling, through seeking the face of God, and through talking to your mate about your issues and figure out exactly where you go from there. But yeah, it is a burden, but I believe that any marriage, once you get into a marriage, it's a holy matrimony. Even if God did not pick that man for you or pick that woman for you, and you walk into that holy sacred union, then it is a marriage that is validated because of those vows. It can be the wrong person, and I've seen the wrong situation turn out to be a great situation if counseling and proper planning is taking place so that you can resolve the issues and work together. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that the person is not in love with you. It just means that they have some issues that they need to work through. And so if that's been the case with this situation, then there can be hope. And hope means that we're going to find out what's the problem so we can resolve it. But if you're just sitting there not doing anything, then I would not advise somebody to walk away from your marriage. That is something that each individual would have to decide whether they want to do. You know, as a married mentor and counselor, I don't advise on getting a divorce. I look at the option, look at the situation, my wife and I, and we determine whether this can work, whether you need to walk away from this. But at the end of the day, I cannot tell you to walk away from your marriage. You need to know exactly whether it is the right thing to do for your sanity and for your life. But again, no man should just sit down and be lazy in a relationship without working and doing everything and exhausting every option and ability that he has in order to build and to support his wife financially.
Amen, amen. Well, I want you to pause right there. Hold that thought on any more things that's coming, okay? We're going to pause for the cause and share some more about our sponsors for tonight's show. So just give me a quick moment, okay? Tonight's show is brought to us by evangelist Alexandra Townsend, who's the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. This book is available. It's a great read. It's available on online bookstores. Get your copy now. Also, KJ Handyman. They specialize in sheetrock, painting, flooring, gutters, lawn care, and much more. Their slogan is, "Give us a call, we repair it all." Call 404-997-0816. Third Heaven Sound is not just music, it's a sound. CDs are available on CD Baby. Unique Expression by Design, custom and business custom products such as T-shirts, mugs, pens, anything that needs to be done, they can take care of it for you. Give them a call, 404-5, I'm giving you the number to Unique Expression by Design, but it's the number four. So their website is www.uniqueexpressionbydesign.com. And then Rise Hair and Beauty Bar. Spa Care and Beauty Bar is located at 1501 1st Highway 138 in Conyers, Georgia. They are located inside of F&B Beauty. They take care of all of your hair care needs, natural hair, twists, lock maintenance, quick weaves, sew-ins, braids, your lashes, makeup, and more. Give them a call at 404-599-3712. That is Hair, Rise Hair and Beauty Bar. They are keeping this on fire to inspire beautiful. Well, we are back to our awesome, awesome guest tonight, Darren Francis. I tell you, I'm so excited about this topic because so many people, I'm talking to so many people that are either divorced, separated, or, you know, unhappy in their marriage. And so it's time to bring on people that can help you find some help, you know, help you get some help to find happiness again, to see if this work, you know, you can work things out. So I thank you so much again for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Now, what are some things that can cause a marriage to fail?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of things that can cause a marriage to fail. Boy, I mean, this question here can probably take us for the rest of the show, but I'm going to make it short and to the point, woman of God. The first thing is, you know, keeping God out of the equation. I think that's one of the biggest problems is that a lot of us get into a relationship thinking that we are qualified enough to keep it, and I don't think that we are. I've been married for 22 years with my wife, and I still have to go back constantly to the Creator and the one that created marriage. And so we pray together. We worship together. We are in sync together. And, and when we talk about some of the things that cause marriage to fail, I think it's selfishness, unforgiveness. People are unforgiven. You did that 5 years ago. And for every time that there's an argument, you bring up what he did, or for every time that there's an argument or a discussion, you know, that you're not in agreement, you remind her of the past. You know, these are some of the things that I see that becomes a big hindrance in relationship. You know, the lack of communication, not talking about the issues and going to bed angry and not discussing the problem and resolving it and having that linger from 1 day to 2 days to 3 days, and all of a sudden a week pass and there's resentment, there's hatred and all these type of things. And we also find that the lack of faith in each other, you know, no trust. These are building blocks that you're using to build a bridge that's going to connect both of the world together as one. And the other thing that I realize, especially communication, is the key. It's one of the bedrock that holds a relationship together. These are the things that cause marriage to fail. The lack of sex in a marriage also can cause marriage to fail. You know, whether you don't feel sexual and you hold sex away from your husband, or the husband is not being sexually fulfilled, or vice versa, the wife is not sexually fulfilled, or their sexual desire is not met. These are some of the things that that can create an atmosphere where, you know, marriage can fail. Well, let's not even talk about infidelity. Infidelity is one of the biggest reasons why marriage and divorce happen. Can the marriage and be severed or salvaged from infidelity? Yes, it can, but I always impress upon people that once you reach that stage, you have to realize that something dies. Something dies in the relationship, and you probably have to build over, start back from scratch. I know sometimes whoever caused the problem or the infidelity, we would like to tell our spouse that, you know, okay, well, I asked for forgiveness and you said you forgive me, so why are you holding on to it? But it's hard to really just move on from a situation like that. You have to go to counseling. There must be some boundaries that are set up so that the person can get times to heal, and time do heals all wounds. And so you can't rush someone into the healing process. You have to be patient with them to get to that place. And so there are so many things. We're now living in a society where, you know, no one necessarily wants to look at the us. You know, in a relationship, it's not me, it's not I, it's we, it's us, it's ours. We are one, we work together, we coexist together. And so I realize that there's also a lot of a lot of selfishness. And this, we live in a society where the individualism or the individual lifestyle or is now embraced, where it's just me, myself, and I. And so instead of we look at each other as one, as caring for each other, we more now see that, you know, if it's not working for me, then I'm out of here. A matter of fact, there are things that people used to work through when, you know, the older generation. I remember time going by when there were situations that would allow somebody to go to counseling and resolve it. People would just literally walk away and say, I can't bother with this, I'm done. And so, you know, I found out now that they also have divorce party. Can you imagine that, woman of God, that when somebody divorced, they actually have a party, you know, celebrating the fact that the marriage didn't work. And so we are now seeing a lot of this in our society, and the millennial generation that want everything right now. And so if it's not happening now, I'm done. It's over. And so they're just a plethora of things that can proliferate, or it can literally create an atmosphere where people are giving up as opposed to trying to work things out. But I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, that marriage is still honorable, that the bed is undefiled. And I still believe that there is just something special when a man finds a wife and you can love each other and cherish each other until death do you part. Will there be problem? Yes, there is. Will there be situation? Yes, there is. But can most of it be worked through? Yes, it can. But again, most people don't stick around long enough so that the marriage can be acclimated, that both parties can be fused together as one. And the fusing can take a year. The fusing can take 2 years. It can take 3 years. It can take up to 5 years before you can really look back and say, oh, my God, do you remember when we used to fight all the time? And here's the reason why I said that, woman of God. And I'm sure you probably heard about this situation before, where a couple get married and they couldn't together. They couldn't live together. They couldn't stand each other. They fight all the time. They decide to resolve the marriage. And after getting a divorce, they found out that both of them become best friends. They find a way to become best friends together. How is that? So how is it that you now got a divorce and you're now becoming best friends with someone that you couldn't stand to live with in the first place? That is telling me that a lot of times most people don't wait long enough for the marriage to be acclimated together and fuse as one. And until the fusing take place, then most people are not giving their relationship a chance. But if you've been married for 10, 15, 20, and 30 years, and all of a sudden things are not going well, then there is a root to that problem. Find out what the problem is before you walk away. And if it cannot be resolved, then, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, are we doing everything in our power to be secure in the institution of marriage by following the godly principle, as opposed to just following what we hear, what we feel, what our emotions are telling us, but also believing that God is able to deliver us out of our situation and cause us to live a lifestyle that is pleasing in His sight. And so, answering that question, it is a broad question, but I hope I summarize it in the sense that understand, yes, there is a lot of stuff that can make marriage fail, but most of the stuff that make marriage fail can be worked through. But are both parties willing enough to work through them in order to come to an understanding that, listen, I know I love you, but these are some issues that we need to fix in order for us to coexist in this union called marriage?
Yeah. Wow. So when you have a couple that's dating and they're thinking about embarking upon marriage, what would you suggest to them as far as marriage counseling? Is there a length of time that you suggest? You know, because I've heard so many people, yeah, we went to counseling, we went to three sessions. I'm like, three sessions, is that it?
You go, what, girl. You talk about that. I know what you're talking about. Tell me about it. The three sessions. Wow. I don't think three sessions is enough for a lifetime of being in a reunion called marriage. Well, I do believe in premarital counseling. I think it's, a matter of fact, it's mandated for anyone that is planning on getting married to go to premarital counseling. And here's the reason why you need to go to premarital counseling. We must understand that marriage is a very sacred union, and it works when you work hard at it. But there's also some roadblocks, pitfalls, and some setbacks can happen on this journey called marriage, because marriage is not a destination. You will never arrive at your destination in this union. You're always on the journey. And so, you know, we recommend premarital counseling, and here is why. Because it helps you to solidify the real reason why you are in this institution called marriage. First of all, it's not just who you love, but it's also what you love about the person. Most people don't understand that. A lot of people kind of like say, you know what, he's, you know, when I ask a question, so what do you love? Well, you know, I love him because he treats me nice, and he's a very nice person. We kind of fall in love together, and I mean, like, okay, well, I understand that he's a nice guy. You guys love each other, but there are some also issues that you need to look at. You know, did you profile his background? Do you know if you have any baby mama drama? Do you know if she had a lot of different multiple partners that probably had issues with her, and vice versa? And so you want to sit down and you want to talk to those individuals and let them know that there's a difference. We have different sessions, the introduction and the overview of the process. And also, you know, you want to find out about the confidentiality about what it is to be in a relationship. You know, you want to move away from the image that you have about the person to the as is, because whether we want to believe it or not, during the dating phase and the courting phase, you know, that's the impression stage. That's the point where everybody is really impressing upon each other how great they are and why they should be the one to take you down the aisle or the one that you need to be with. And so during the premarital counseling phase, we sort of talk about the reality that, listen, yeah, you may look like this and may act like this during the dating phase, but after the marriage, then you realize there that he or she has some hang-ups that you didn't even recognize that was there. And then the second session, we talk about counseling, communication, and the conflict resolution. How will you deal with issues, you know, working through conflict, fighting fairly, attacking the problem and not the person, intimacy through open communication. And then the second phase of counseling, we talk about, we continue with fighting fairly, you know, we have also recovery conversations, you know, after the argument. How do you recover from that? How are you planning on dealing with this? Or are you going to go to bed angry about it? Or you're going to have a dialogue that's going to go back to the point where you guys start talking and having good reasoning. Also, you know, we talk about money in relationship. How are you going to budget your money? How are you going to, you know, deal with the money management? Who is more qualified? What does your credit report look like now? Based on the credit report, we can determine if someone is actually a good steward of their money. We can determine from that whether the person is mature financially. These are some of the things that we look at. We also look at the fact that, you know, you need to have financial goals, dreaming and planning together, you know, fight about money. Most people fight more about money than they do sex. Most couples have an argument about money than they do about making love with each other. You know, what triggers the money issue? You know, the power of control, loving and caring, commitment, value and culture, gender issues, and all those different things. And then we have six family. Do you want to start a family? You know, at what particular stage in the relationship you would like to have children? How many children do you like to have? What is the relationship that you have with your in-laws? And so these are some of the things that must be looked at, you know, and the list still goes on. You know, the wedding, you know, talk about intimacy and dating and still having date night as married couple and working through the differences on religion. Hey, some people have different belief system. Maybe the wife don't want to leave her church because of the responsibility that she has there, and vice versa. So these are so many different things. And then we talk about the five love language, you know, how to understand the love language for your spouse, word of affirmation, the quality time, receiving gift, act of kindness, and physical touch. All of these different things are important in marriage. And so premarital counseling will allow you to solidify these areas with the counselor, so that you can now have a more comprehensive idea of what it requires to make a marriage work, because of after the explosion in the bedroom on the honeymoon and after you come back and all that kind of stuff, you drop those bags, that's when the reality takes place. What we find that most people plan for the wedding, but they didn't take time to plan the marriage.
You know what, you said something key. I met a young lady. She wrote a book, and I can't remember the title, but the title basically said something centered around the wedding lasted longer than the marriage. So the planning of the
yes.
wedding and the actual, you know, event itself
yes,
lasted
exactly.
longer. Wow. What would you say to the woman that has never been married? She, let's see, where do women get that biological clock thing? She's 35 mm-hmm. years old, never been married, doesn't have any children. And what would you say to her? Because, you know, women get a little weak, you know, crazy around that time frame. So they start talking like, well, you know, my biological clock ticking. What would you say to this woman so she could save herself from some heartache?
Okay. Advice to that person. Especially if they're in a bad relationship. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they have been in bad relationship. And so sometimes it's very difficult for them to give another man a chance, you know. You know, we hear the phrase, once bitten, twice shy. And, I, you know, most people can relate to that. You know, growing up with five sisters, I've seen the headache of failed relationship. Thank God four out of my five sisters have successful marriages right now. And that's great, but, you know, there's just so much layers that a lot of qualified women right now have put up. They have roadblocks. They have set up a wall. They don't want to be reached. They, you know, and so I would say to someone like that is that if someone approach you that seems to have a good background or they seems to be someone that you'd want to give a chance, I would say, you know, go out on a date. Start dating again. Don't just look at all men as dogs. Okay, yeah, this particular person might have been one to you, but you kick him to the curb, you wrote his name on a toilet tissue, you're flushing down the toilet, and now you're free from that joker. Give yourself an opportunity once you heal from that relationship, from that hurt, from that pain, to find true love again, all right? And that requires dating. Now, dating is you getting, you know, going out with someone so you can get enough intel about the person to make a conscious decision whether this person is going to get more of your time. That's all dating is. I look at dating as an interviewer having a candidate being interviewed for a job. You want to make sure that this candidate fit the profile of what you're looking for. You don't date to fall in love. You date to get to meet somebody. You date to find out if this person is a qualified fit for you so that you can now take it to the next level where you start to spend more time together, because that's all dating really is. Then from the dating, you take it to the courting phase. The courting phase is when you recognize that this person's core value fits your core value. You are interested in the person. You kind of feel like this person had some characteristic that you can work with. You may not have all the ducks in a row. You may not figure out everything, and probably you won't do. You probably never will right away. But you have enough information to make a conscious decision to say, listen, man, I want to take this relationship a little bit more serious. They're going to introduce you to their mama. If he cares about you, he will, because most men want their mama approval of the woman that they want to marry, okay? And then if for you as a woman, you want to bring them to your dad or bring them to your family, you know, your spiritual advisor, somebody that you trust, you know, and so forth. Now, also for those that are, you know, have divorced and remarried. I'm one that, you know, that believe that divorce is a very difficult thing to go through. Something dies inside of you when you get a divorce. But do I believe that God is going to hold a person hostage if they decided to find new love in someone else? No, I don't think that that's the kind of God that we serve. That because the Bible speaks about you know, not remarrying after divorce. I don't believe that our God is so hardened that he would not forgive you for that. If he can forgive a murderer that murders someone, if he can forgive a liar or, you know, somebody that steals, somebody that committed fornication and all that kind of stuff, all that type of sin, I don't see the reason why if somebody's young in their prime and their marriage didn't work out and they found somebody that's going to love them and treat them right, why they would not want to also venture back into that possibility of getting married again. And so I think that I want to impress upon the single ladies that, you know, love yourself. Love who you are. Feel good about yourself. Be passionate about you. When you look in the mirror, feel good about who you are. Don't put your faults on display. Ladies, let me impress upon you. Again, I grew up with five sisters, that there's a lot of times you guys find faults about yourself that when a man look at you, they don't see those faults. They're looking at a beautiful, attractive young lady that is a God gift to society, but yet you walk around with the low self-esteem and some of the self-image, you know, situations that you deal with, and you put yourself down instead of picking yourself up. Some of y'all look in the mirror and don't love what you see. Well, if you don't love what you see, do something about it. Go to the gym, exercise, wear nice things. You don't necessarily mean that every day you get up, you're going to put on expensive clothes. But if you're going to the supermarket, you know, look appropriate. You don't know. Probably you bump your cart into another gentleman that when you look up, you saw this beautiful young lady, and you just kind of sweep him off his feet. He's asking you for your number, and wow, something just went off. There's a cataclysmic moment where you just feel like, I just need to get to know this person a little bit better. And sometimes when you're not even looking for love, when there's no desperation for marriage, that's when it finds you. But at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable with your singleness. And once you're comfortable with your singleness, you'll be okay. At the end of the day, somebody will be attracted and be magnetized by your personality, by your attitude, what you display consistently. And you'll be surprised that they can't get you out of their head. Because for ladies, again, man know what he's looking for. And once he finds it, once he see it, he's a hunter, he's a chaser, he's going to go after it. And you can't stop him from trying to get what he wants. Every woman knows that about a man. And so I want to impress upon you that just love upon yourself, love upon God, and just wait for God to bring the right person in your life. Again, he can do it. And I surely and firmly believe that with all my heart.
Wow, I tell you. So tell our listeners how they could go and purchase Built to Last, the book.
Well, they can purchase Built to Last at, it's available at Amazon.com. It's available on BarnesandNoble.com. And it's also available on my website at www.DorianFrancis.com. Once again, www.DorianFrancis.com. I can be reached through all social media platform, Twitter. I am on Twitter. You can find me at BetterLove101. At Twitter, you can find me also on Facebook at Dorian Francis. You can look me up under my name. I do also have an author page. I also am on Instagram at BetterLove101. And the book is also available in all ebook formats. You can buy this book on the Apple device. You can buy it also on the Kindle and also on the Barnes & Noble Nook device. Absolutely.
All right, you said,
and it's not just a book. Yeah, Better Love 101. That's the handle.
That was the handle for Instagram. And what was it? Instagram handle was another.
Instagram is also Better Love 101.
Okay. All right. Is that the one for Twitter as well?
Yeah, that's the same one for Twitter also.
Okay.
And I do also have an author page. It's under my name. You can look it up under my name, or you can go to facebook.com/foreverinlove101. facebook.com/foreverinlove101.
All right. And the word in is spelled out, forever in love.
Forever in love 101.
I'm putting it in the chat. So. I'm asking you so many questions.
Okay.
All right. So what are some final words that you would like to leave with the listeners tonight?
Well, I just want to, for all the listeners, truly it's a privilege and an honor for you guys to be listening on this broadcast. And I would like to say to each and every one of you, both male and female, that listen, guys, what God has for you, it is for you. If marriage is in the equation, then it's going to happen. Don't force the hand of God. Just keep loving on God. Keep loving on yourself. Keep living your life. Keep building your future. A matter of fact, I would also recommend to the men out there that listen, build yourself. The women are doing an excellent job in becoming enterprise and building their own brand and doing what they need to do. Men are doing it too, but we find that a lot of men are more laid back in terms of educating themselves and advancing in their academic career versus the woman. The women are on the cutting edge. They're doing it, and most men are intimidated by a woman's success. Let me tell you something. I don't care exactly how intellectual or how smart a woman is. They still need a man. I'm going to tell you why, whether you want to accept it or not. And this isn't, I'm not beating up on anybody that are happy or comfortable with your singleness. I do understand that. But God pulled a woman out of a man. He put Adam to sleep and he pulled a rib out of a man and he made a woman. When Adam woke up and saw this beautiful, fine, attractive woman in front of him, he said, whoa, 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 she is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh. I would call her a woman because she was pulled out of me. And so God could have get clay just like he did man and made a woman, which means that we would not be connected in any form of way or fashion. But God didn't want that. So what God did, God allowed you to be pulled out of us. And so from the beginning of time, man looked at a woman and actually see himself. That's powerful. And so even though we are embracing our singleness in this society, at the end of the day, there are some emptiness inside of us that only God himself can fill. And there's also that loneliness inside of us that only a true God-fearing, loving, caring husband can fill. And so the men owe it to themselves to also be qualified to date these women. And sometimes I would say to the ladies that if you see somebody that fit the criteria and the profile, kind of profile them, give them an interview, see if he value your time, but don't rule out that it will happen for you. Because the Bible said that we live at the level in which we speak. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if you keep saying that there's no quality man out there and you don't think that you're never going to be married, then probably you're just going to get exactly what you talk about. But if you want to be married, you start to saying, God, I'm asking you to send that qualified man. God, I'm asking you to send a man that's going to be my Boaz, one that's going to love me and treat me right, one that's going to sweep me off my feet and treat me like the queen that I deserve to be treated as, and I am going to be I'm going to be his queen, and I'm going to love him, I'm going to pour into him, I'm going to make him feel like the man that he deserves to be treated as. And so you declare the thing in the atmosphere, and whatever you need, you have to declare it in the supernatural, and God will allow it to be manifest in the natural. So whatever you need, you have to declare it and hope and trust and believe God that he will do it for you. But if you keep saying that there is no man, well, no man can show up in an atmosphere that was not prepared for him. And the same thing goes for the man. If you're not seeking and looking for that woman, then guess what? You are denying yourself an opportunity to find true love. True love is real. I believe it still exists. And if you work hard for it, it will find you. But first, you just have to love the Creator more than the gift, more than seek his face and not his hand, and watch what God do. Love you guys. It was a pleasure being here. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much, woman of God, for this opportunity to be able to serve your audience. And I hope and trust that they were blessed by the information that I was able to share through your platform tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm getting all kind of chats and texts and things now. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and knowledge, because you don't see a lot of people that are as young as you and your wife are being married, 22 years. That's, you know, what's sad is that's rare. And what we want to see again is for it to be a common, want to see it common again, want to see people working towards making their marriages last, wanting to, see the hand of God on their marriages. So I want to thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule for joining us tonight. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. May God bless you, too. And I want to thank you, woman of God, for the wonderful work that you're doing in the body of Christ, empowering people for change. That is so needed. You know, people, sometimes a lot of people are down on their luck, and they just need somebody to be a picker-upper, somebody that's going to be there to challenge them, to say, you know what, I don't see you as you are, but I see you as you can be. And with the help of God, if you keep believing in me, I will keep believing in you until you're able to believe in yourself. And I think that you're doing a phenomenal job in bringing that message out to your audience. And may God continue to bless you and continue to anoint you for what you're doing in this season. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you again. Well, guys, we have had a phenomenal, phenomenal interview. And I'm telling you, you have to share this, the recording to your family, with your family members, your friends, whoever you know. Share it with the strangers, because this is something that needs to be heard. For those who are single, they need to hear this so they'll know what to look for, what to expect, because you don't know walking in what to expect. So when you have someone with that type of wisdom sharing with you, you know exactly what to expect and how you and your mate can prepare, because you don't walk into anything blindly as something such a covenant such as this. So, you know, my thing is, I'm on assignment to help people move from existing into living, and living the life that God created here on the in the earth realm, but not just in your personal life or your business life, but for every aspect of your life, because you have greatness on the inside of you. And I just want you to allow Him to manifest His glory in you. We're here each and every week at PM Eastern Standard Time, On Fire to Inspire. Share it with a friend, share it with a family member. Also, you can purchase the book On Fire to Inspire on Amazon, on Kindle, or you can email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com, because I tell you, it's time for you to move from that existing into living. It's time to live out the life. It's time to just, I'm telling you, it's time to live. I know I heard God say, it's time for an awakening, and it's time for you to rise up. So for those of you who are hearing, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the recording, awaken, arise, and move forward. If it's in your marriage and it's time for you to go into counseling, do that. If it's time, if you're single, desire that. Speak what you desire. Stop saying what you're seeing. Stop saying what you're hearing other people say. Speak what you want to see. Speak what you want to manifest, because the power is in your mouth. The power is in your tongue. So I thank you again tonight for listening to On Fire to Inspire with Pastor Darren, Francis, and myself. We thank you. And tune in next week where we have Miss Cheryl Williamson, and the topic is Don't Carry Your Gifts to the Grave. So make sure you tune in next week, and we will be here live again, Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, On Fire to Inspire. I love you guys. Remember, there is greatness on the inside of you. Let it out so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Have a good night.